Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XIX of the Big Book, the forward to the second edition, and we are reading the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Shelley E. reading the 12 steps, Martha M. reading the 12 traditions, and reading our text are Kara L., Leslie M., and Betsy H. Our newcomer greeter is Mary B., and giving us announcements is Dawn B., and thank you, Leslie W., for getting our meeting started today. The share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, July 19th, the special edition, is 15,007 or 15007. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting on July 20th, the number is 15,010 or 15010. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, but our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a wonderful day, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. And Martha M., would you please read the 12 steps, the 12 traditions of OA? Thank you, Martha.
Good morning, Kathy K. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm an anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Kathy, I thank you for your service and the opportunity to do service. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you for your service, Martha M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XIX, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Kara L. to get us started. Kara?
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. This was the substance of AA's 12 traditions, which are stated in full on page 561 of this book. Though none of these principles had the force of rules or laws, they had become so widely accepted by 1950 that they were confirmed by our first international conference held at Cleveland. Today, the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest assets that our society has. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And, you know, we have been studying the basics of the 12 steps in the prior text just before this, and I'm always filled with awe, you know, first the steps and then the traditions. They do fill me with awe today about how to move around in society, how to move around in my family, with my friends, how to, you know, that's the tradition. You know, we had in the beginning of AA, we see they were sending, you know, big books out. There were people, you know, salesmen traveling and might stop, and little groups popping up here and there, and AA was spreading really, really quickly. And they didn't have the communication that we had today. They didn't have the instantaneous communication, so people were doing what, you know, they thought they were interpreting. And when the traditions came to be, it was so that our group would have longevity. It was so that AA could birth other 12-step groups like OA. It was so that there would be a future of strong recovery in the world. You know, there were other groups that were successful prior to AA with alcoholism, but they never, ever had the lasting power to be of service. You know, the infighting or political stances or whatnot would happen. And they're no longer, we don't even know their names hardly. And today we know AA's name and we know OA's name. And we know that there's a place to turn for recovery, that there is a solution today. That, you know, it's so widely known that medical professionals, other people, that it's seen in our, and, you know, it's written into the scripts of our lives, 12-step recovery. And it's almost as if we don't know a world without 12-step recovery. And that's a miracle today. I'm so grateful for the founders. I'm so grateful for those that struggled in the beginning to help create these traditions for us so that we can move forward and being of service to our fellows, that we have a way of interacting and keeping this legacy going of service to others and bringing recovery to others and recovery for ourselves. I'm very grateful for that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kara L., for getting us started today. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I am now open to take names of those of you who have not shared in the last 2 days. Who would like
Heather
to?
Heather W.
Heather W.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What page are we on, please? What page are we starting on?
XIX in the forward to the second edition.
Thank you.
Leslie M.
Leslie M. Who else would like to share?
Veronica D.
Veronica B. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with those three, Heather W., Leslie M., and Veronica B. Please go ahead, Heather.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. Super grateful to be on the line. I wasn't able to call in all last week, and that was the first time since March. So, yeah, just really grateful to be here and grateful for this forward to the second edition. You know, until a sponsor really walked me through it, I would like totally skip these pages. You know, I didn't think they had anything to offer. And I think this forward is so amazing because it really shows me how divinely guided this program is. Like, there's so many things that could have stopped it or changed it. So for it to be what it is today, for us to have OA that came from AA, yeah, you know, it just is really God to me. And I, you know, I think it's clear in the traditions that they talk about. I wanted to, three of the traditions really speak to me about, you know, how I need to act in OA, but also just for me personally. You know, in the first tradition, it says our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. And so that tells me, right, I can't do this on my own. And so when I started working with my sponsor and I keep saying, oh, I know that. I already know. I know what I need to eat. I know this. No, you know, I don't. I need to be able to stop the I knows, listen, and really do what I'm told, because it's our common welfare. You know, I have to work with others. I have to listen and be with others in order for this to work. And then that third tradition, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Again, this one really speaks to me personally, because for a long time, you know, I was on step one for 6 years. For a long time, I was in OA, and I had a desire to stop the consequences of my eating. I didn't want to wake up sick, you know, I didn't want to gain weight. I didn't want this or that. I wanted to stop stealing food, but I didn't really want to stop. You know, I wanted to still try to control it, and I didn't want to, you know, have that entire abstinence. And then tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. This one is so important for me when it comes to sponsorship and everything. You know, I need to make sure I'm carrying the message in this book. You know, I used to hear a lot in OA, take what you want and leave the rest. And for me, that was really dangerous, because what I want is like diseased and crazy, right? And I know I have to take the message, the total message in this book 100%, whether I really like it or want to hear it or not. And then that's what I'm supposed to pass on to others. So, yeah, these traditions really resonate with me. Again, this is something I would have just totally skipped over before I worked through this book with a recovered sponsor. And, yeah, it just speaks to me so strongly now. So thanks, y'all, for letting me share.
Thank you, Heather W. Leslie M., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy K. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and I totally agree. The traditions of OA are just such an important part of my life. You know, I found that they have come really alive for me as I personalize them. You know, it's about how I'm acting, you know, in a group, not just an OA group, but how I'm acting in any group with other people, my family, at my job, you know, wherever I am. You know, am I following these traditions? And, you know, it's funny, I was just looking at two, for our group purpose here is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. And for me, you know, I know that before, you know, I've been around a long time, and before I finally got this recovery, you know, this was a diet with group support for me. You know, it was that spiritual part of the program. But when I finally dove into it with my sponsor and knew that if I didn't do this, that food was going to be in charge for the rest of my life. When I finally didn't call it the spiritual part of the program, you know, I had to know that this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution. So the fact that God is in the tradition and that we aren't leaders, we aren't in charge, that we're just trusted servants, you know, that we do the best that we can with what we have, you know, and I think that this healthy phone meeting is a good example of that. You know, different people take positions and share their experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, it's, you know, God is in charge. You know, there's a God and I'm not it. And that's one of the first things that I had to learn and remember in order for me to have a different life and have this spiritual solution to the spiritual malady that I have. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. And Veronica B., please share with us.
Oh, hi, good morning. My name is Veronica, and I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And thank you so much. I am just so grateful to be here. And I, too, when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, I wasn't really interested in the tradition. I am a selfish person. I just wanted to do the steps. I wanted to do the steps right away. Just tell me how to get this thing. Let me do the steps. And it wasn't until a little time passed that I was actually start to pay more attention to the traditions. And I appreciate them today. I appreciate them today. And I know that it if I just follow the traditions, if I apply it to my life, I have a better day. I have a better life. And I'm connected with God. And I love the, I just started learning about the traditions and taking it a step further and applying it to my life. Like tradition one, our common welfare should come first. You know, without the unity of OA, like it dies, you know. So that tells me for the good of the group, I have to, you know, comply with the group and respect the group, respect the people's opinions, listen quietly. And I apply that to my family, you know, with my mom who has Alzheimer's and my sisters who are constantly fighting. I have to respect my sisters, respect their opinions, and keep my mouth shut, you know, and then somehow come to a consensus without argument. And then the tradition seven, the self-supporting through our own contributions. I was so selfish before I came into Overeaters Anonymous. I depended on other people to take care of me. You know, I was dishonest and I married a man just to take care of me and for security. And then I got abstinent and I realized, dear God, what have I done? I am a selfish person, you know. So this tradition has taught me that I don't get to use people today. I get to be self-supporting through my own contributions, that I get to be a grown-up. And it's just amazing, these traditions and how they've helped my life get connected with God and just be in God's grace. And just thank you so much for calling on me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. Okay, I'd like to take some new names from people who would like to share.
Donna W.
Donna W. Who else would like to share?
Michelle R.
Michelle R.
Laura Lee S. in Denver.
Laura Lee S. And was that Debbie?
Uh-huh, Deborah G.
Debbie or Deborah?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, say that again, please. Who was that?
Larry G.
Okay, Larry G. I think there was someone before you, Larry. Was there someone I missed? Okay, who else would like to share? Okay, we'll stop there. I have Donna W., Michelle R., Laura Lee S., Deborah G., and Larry G. Donna W., please go ahead, please.
Thank you so much. This is Donna W., calling in from Palo Alto, California. Greetings, everyone. And, yeah, really grateful not just for the 12 steps, which saved my life, but the 12 traditions, which saves the 12-step programs. You know, it's just amazing that these programs are still around. It's a miracle, and it's just, you know, I'm just amazed that we have this, that, you know, we know how to, that we have endured, that we have a system in place not just to stop us from killing ourselves, but to stop us from killing each other. And, you know, when I look at all the different programs that are out there, how, you know, maybe they could have designed it where you would have to pay a sponsor or, you know, to kind of graduate to the next step, there would be some payment, you know. It's just amazing what we have. And I'm really grateful for it. And I'm reading the AA 12 and 12, including the traditions. So I'm going through the traditions right now. And I think that it's really helpful to see what they went through and to acknowledge that we don't have to go through that now. They have some real growing pains and we get to benefit from that now. And we have this enduring program. And as others have shared, there's been the Washingtonians and the Oxford group that in those times were very strong, but the 12-step programs have really stuck around, and I'm grateful that it's made my life better, and I would like to think the lives of those around me better. And, you know, this morning I was writing, you know, how can I be of service today? And me, who's been very self-centered my whole life, self-reliant, I'm looking at how can I be of service here today? You know, that's a miracle. How can I be of value? I have my own business, and I'm like, how can I serve my clients today? That's what I strive to do. Even though I'm still quite a self-centered, self-reliant person, I know that there are options to that now. And the 12 steps and 12 traditions are what help me for that. And, you know, sometimes in meetings, I want to make some decisions and move things forward really quickly. And instead, we have this process, which sometimes takes a long time, but it's it works. I wanted to move a 8 p.m. Tuesday night OA meeting to 7:30, and it took us about 6 months before we made that change. And you know, but it works. We all consider each other, and we don't have one person who's in charge. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. Michelle R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Michelle R., and I'm from the suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. But currently I'm in Virginia, Northern Virginia, helping care for my son who just had surgery. And I just, the word unity jumped out at me in this paragraph. I have never felt such a strong sense of unity. Like, I have no lack of friends otherwise, but these people, these wonderful people in OA, are heart friends. You know, we all have the same affliction, if you will, and we know how we think. And I have never met a bunch of more loving and caring people. You know, I made the drive here for 6 hours, and I'm no youngster. Normally, I would have been a basket of making that drive, but I was out of calmness. I was 9.5 hours in the hospital with my son on Friday. And normally, I've been a basket case about the pandemic. I was so calm, I knew that it was in God's hands. And if you know me, a goofball, I'm just a bouncing from here to here to here. Totally different person because of this unity, because of these wonderful people. So many of you friends, and you know who you are, have reached out to me knowing that I'm here, you know, helping out here. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. And I am so grateful for this program, and I pray that everybody stays safe. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Michelle R. Laura Lee S., please share with us. Press star one, Laura Lee.
Hi, this is Riley S. in Denver. I apologize. Every time I share in this meeting, I unmute myself when the previous person is talking, and then somehow, I don't know how, it always gets remuted. So
well,
I'll have to figure
that
out.
Hear you now. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm grateful to be here and wish that I'd been at the previous meeting. I love that previous paragraph. It's just so beautiful. And I also love the long form of the traditions in the back of the AA Big Book. There, you know, before each tradition got like a one sentence summary, they had a paragraph for each one instead. And they really make things very clear. And I really appreciate that. I was thinking about how the fellowship works because of the nature of our illness. You know, I actually met someone once who was a professor or a grad student in religion, and she studied AA and 12-step programs. And she said, you know, people are very interested in the 12-step programs and how they work and why it works and can they bring those into businesses. And what I've seen is that, you know, yeah, I mean, these are great principles and I can bring them into my personal life, but for us, this is survival, right? If I don't live by their traditions and work the steps, I'm not going to be able to come to the meeting. The meeting's not going to happen. Whereas all sorts of dysfunctional other organizations can go on forever and ever because everyone doesn't go out and get drunk and eat compulsively and stop showing up when it's, you know, dysfunctional. People keep showing up and doing stuff. And so these, but, you know, they're also, like, super necessary. We couldn't do it without them. And I was on one of my regular local meetings yesterday, and, you know, I've just been in for 4 months, and I started going to this meeting, which is now on the phone, used to be in person, for maybe a couple of months. And I don't know if they've ever had a group conscience business meeting. And someone said, you know, I've been representing us at Intergroup since we started this meeting, however many years ago, and I'm also liaison to the church. And if anyone wants to take that on, you know, that would be great, but I'll keep doing it as long as I need to. And I don't think I should give up being the liaison to the church because they should have the same person forever. And I thought, oh, this, I need to step up and do something and ask when the group conscience is and make sure we have one and see if, you know, we can rotate, because that meeting isn't going to survive if this person, you know, burns out and nobody is, you know. And then I noticed at the beginning of the meeting, nobody, you know, everyone's like, who signed up to chair? Nobody knew. And someone's like, well, I have a format, I'll do it. And then at the end of the meeting, I realized we don't even have it in the format to ask who's going to do it. So every time I go to that meeting, it's always, who's cheering? We don't know. And you know, I have a chronic illness. I have a lot of health problems, and I can't necessarily volunteer to do a lot of service unless it's like, if I'm there, I'm happy to do stuff. But volunteering ahead of time often gets canceled for me because of my health. And so I was thinking, well, I can't volunteer to do stuff. What can I do? But I can speak up and say, when's our group conscience? And I think we should rotate. And, you know, maybe we don't need to have an intergroup rep if someone's not willing to do it, instead of having the same person do it for how many years. So I'm grateful we covered this today, and I can think about what's my responsibility here. So thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura Lee F. Deborah G., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, everyone, that's made this meeting possible. Okay, thank you, Kathy, and just so grateful to have it today and all the meetings. And I can remember hearing at a meeting one time, they said that the traditions were made because of things that weren't working. And I like that. Because, and I love that we read the traditions every meeting so I can continue to be reminded of what they are, those principles, and take those into my meetings. And then also in the program and also in my personal life, because I learn in my personal life, again, ongoing, what's working and what's not working. So it's nice to have those guidelines. I mean, this program just gives so many wonderful gifts, you know, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. And that's all I really have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Larry G., please share with us. Larry, are you there? Press star one. Okay, I don't hear Larry. So I'm going to invite others who would like to share. Anyone else want
to? Alice A.
Alice A.
Can you remind us where we are, please?
Yes, we're on page XIX, the second full paragraph on the page, which begins, "This was the substance of AA's 12 traditions."
Thank you.
Sure. So that was Alice A. Who else would like to share?
I can share. This is Joe M.
Joe M. Okay. Thank you, Joe. Anyone else?
Alana N.
Alana M.
N is in Norman.
Oh, N. Thank you, Alana. And maybe one more. Is there one more person who would like to share?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, great. Okay.
Julie?
Is that Julie B?
Julie M.
Julie M. Great. Thank you all. We have Alice A, Joe M, Alana N, Jordan L, and Julie M. Please go ahead, Alice A.
Thank you. This is Alice A, a gratefully recovered compulsive eater from hot, humid Alabama. I have read that AA has been called the most significant phenomenon in the history of ideas in the 20th century. All you really have to do is to look at the number of 12-step programs to know that this is true. And one of the reasons it has lasted as long as it has is the tradition. As it says in this paragraph, the unity of OA is one of its greatest assets. And I think this is because of the tradition. And I especially like tradition 11. Public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. With the thousands who are members of Vision, it just shows that this tradition is working. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alice A. Joe M., please share with us.
Yeah, thank you very much for your service. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Yeah, so that last sentence, today the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest assets that our society has. So if it's the unity of OA is one of the greatest assets that our society has, like, why is that so important? And I think, you know, I need two things for my recovery. I need a program of recovery, which for me comes from AA. It comes from the big book out of AA. And I need the fellowship of OA. And so the strength and health of my fellowship matters to me because I need that fellowship. And for whatever reason, you know, I need those two things for my survival and recovery. And I think about the steps restore me to sanity, and the traditions restore the fellowship to sanity. That if there's a group or, you know, that's struggling, or an inner group that's struggling, the traditions are going to restore that group. That I can't restore a group to sanity, can't even restore myself to sanity, but the traditions will restore the group to sanity. And for me, I see the traditions as really kind of restoring what is essentially a more natural order, because we're social beings and we need each other and we're naturally cooperative, and then we get pulled out of that and we get trained out of that. And so this is a way of coming back to what I see as a more natural way of functioning as a group. And I'm so grateful that they developed the traditions in OA, that we can use them, and that we've adopted them pretty much word for word in OA. So that's all I have. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe M. Alana N., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. I'm Alana N., grateful member of Vision for You, and I really love the topic on Tradition 1 and on unity. And the interesting part is I just had a conversation this morning with someone about this tradition, and the other member had pulled the piece out of it where it says, no fellowship lavishes more devoted care upon its individual members and their individual right to think, act as they wish, and that no AA can compel another to do anything. Nobody can be punished or expelled. And it's interesting because I just love having conversations about the traditions, because it makes me think, it makes me look, it makes me study it a little bit more. And I found myself pulling out my book to read it. And it says, you know, on the next page, you know, about this paradox that, you know, this anarchy that everybody gets to do what they want, but then this group unity, and how do we find that balance? How do we strike a balance? And, you know, in the next page, it talks about Those who look closely soon have the key to this strange paradox. The AA member has to conform to the principles of recovery. His life actually depends upon obedience to spiritual principles. And I've heard the tradition was obedience to the unenforceable. And I like that as well, because it really is their guidelines, their suggestions. And everyone I talk to who loves the tradition has a slightly different interpretation of them, which I adore, because those conversations, ultimately safety has always been an issue for me my whole life. And when I heard the traditions and my first sponsor taught them to me, I knew safe here. I knew that the groups that watched and monitored and adhered to traditions would keep me safe. And they always have, always, always. So I'm very grateful. And what a great topic. Thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alana N. Jordan L., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Kathy.
Hi, Jordan.
Good morning, everybody. my name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on the line with you guys this morning. the traditions. So these are an interesting one, right? And I actually, I had come from a different 12-step fellowship when I entered Overeaters Anonymous. So I was biased. I kind of had like an idea of what I thought the traditions looked like, right, based on previous experience. And so when I came in, I really had to like work at seeing how I, as someone who naturally, but for whatever reason, my personality type, I tend to be pessimistic and I tend to look at faults. I tend to be fault finding, right? So I really had to consciously like put all of that aside and look at like how it was that we were practicing them, you know, and not what it was that we were doing wrong or I thought we were doing wrong, you know. and so it's interesting, right? One of the things that I heard a lot in OA was like someone would say something about the traditions and it would be like, oh yeah, that's somebody else's job. That's like inner group's job. You know, inner group is, they're supposed to, they know the traditions and they follow those. Or World Service, they know the traditions and they follow those, you know. And that isn't my experience, right? Like what my experience shows is that the traditions are just like the steps. There's very much a personal responsibility within them. They aren't practiced unless every single member in our fellowship understands, is familiar with them, understands how they work in their own lives, and what they look like. Like that's how they're practiced, is if we are all practicing them collectively as a group, you know, but each one of us has a personal responsibility in that and power too, right? Like they're like the steps. The steps return us to sanity, right? The traditions, they empower us to be like an active, participating member of Overeaters Anonymous, you know? and that's not to say that I we should be running around like policing each other with the traditions or something like that, but I have a personal responsibility to practice them, you know, and they're very effective, not only in like the OA groups themselves, but any group setting, any place where I'm meant to be working as a team, or I'm meant to be contributing to a purpose greater than just like my own ego and selfishness. they work really, really well. Applied to any such application, right? So anyway, I'm very grateful that we have them today, and that's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Julie M., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Julie M. from North Carolina, and I just wanted to share, I am back in OA after 2.5 years and 2.5 years of being on A Vision for You. But in when I look back, I realized that, and this will tie into the traditions, I had pride, my ego, my defiance, and above all, my fear of rejection to reach out to you guys and reach out and ask and humbly ask for help. I'm into other programs, so I told myself I have that part. I just need to deal with the food. And after 2.5 years of not having fellowship with you, I went out. I did have a sponsor, but I didn't have the fellowship. And I realized the unity and the traditions, and this may bring me to tears, is that I wanted to reach out so badly to this person. And I was on the meeting for the very, very first time, and she reached out to me yesterday and said, do you want a sponsor? I'll be your sponsor. And to me, that is tradition one and tradition, not sure of the number, but the primary purpose. And I feel like I have a whole new lease in life. And it doesn't matter how much time I've been in the other programs. I'm a newcomer and I am starting over, and I am so grateful, and I have blocked God from, you know, I thought I had such a good relationship. Well, I can't have a good relationship if I'm eating or running away in the sugar. Then, so I was lying to myself, and I'm just so excited and feel like a sponge and so grateful to hear all of you, and it was like, when I started listening again, you all were on again. I was like, oh, my God, if they can do it, I can do it. So thank you. This is the first time I've spoken on Vision for You. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Julie M., and I hope you'll keep coming back.
I will.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, everyone who has shared today and who has listened today. We are going to now close the meeting. The reading from the Big Book on page 164, and follow that by the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, thank you, Kathy K., for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.